Hi, and welcome to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners here at eWeb Results.
My name is Matt Bertram, your SEO expert.
The SEO expert. You even wrote an article. We'll probably cover that in the next podcast,
your article. Well, it's because
of this t-shirt. It says, an SEO expert walks into a bar, bars, beer garden, hangout, lounge, nightclub, minibar, bar stool, tavern, pub, beer, wine, whiskey. That's how an SEOer thinks, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, this was probably like 5 years ago, SEO, but...
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast number 473. And it's part two of this article, and the article is Top 10 Must-Have Content Marketing Skills. It's by, we actually didn't know the author on the last podcast. Yeah. It's been, our apologies to Miss Julia McCoy. I think we've done articles from her before. It was posted in Search Engine Journal. Before that, remember we are filmed live here in Houston, Texas, and Matt and I, we are your results rebels.
So Chris, yes. So as we've been designing the EWR
I feel like
digital,
you've prepared this, and then now you're springing it on me.
No, actually, you made me think of it.
Okay.
Right? And so really we're designing the new website, we'll launch it in March, and we're rebranding the company, we're kind of co-branding it right now, EWR Digital, we're kind of maturing the brand a little bit. And based on the logo that we designed. So it's EWR in all capitals because we're smaller case. We're all capitals now. We're adults here. And basically, you know, something that's pretty popular is everything in like a box. Right.
Yeah.
So I moved us a little outside the box.
Okay. Right? I like that. Yeah.
Focused on results.
Mm.
Right. So focused on the R.
Yeah.
So there's a little story behind I like that.
It's always interesting when you get, and usually it's a sign of a good logo when there's a good quality story behind it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
there you
very
go.
Cool.
Doesn't that look, that
the
just
focus
looks so
is,
good.
We're looking at the digital screen over on the left, and it looks pretty good. So that will be revealed
into March. In the first quarter. That's their goal.
Very cool. We are your results rebels. I do need to read a couple reviews. And the first one is not 5 stars. I found a bunch of reviews actually over on Podbay, and we had never looked at them. They go way, 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 way back. This one is from TSum47. It's only 2 stars. It says, I felt like I had to listen to a lot of BS that I could easily read off the internet in less time. No real meat. This is for people deep into SEO, not newbies. Now, I don't know if he's making the comment that his idea is it's supposed to be for people deep into SEO and not newbies, or is he saying
that's
right? Like, that's the interpretation, but it's not that clear. T-Sum, patif to you. I'm sure you hate that.
I don't know what we're doing.
Taking the time to actually write to us. Like,
we need feedback.
We always need feedback. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that we recognize when we read reviews that aren't positive is that you're 10 times more likely to get a negative review than a positive review. And if you look at our collection of reviews, they're more than 10 times likely to be positive. So I think that says something. And I actually have another review that we'll get into here in a second.
Go for it.
Okay, this one is from Jay Barshop. The title is Awesome Show, Highly Recommend. Matt, Chris, and their guests, we don't have guests that often, provide some incredibly actionable and compelling content, spotlighting the coming SEO and content marketing trends and absolute best tactics to help you effectively grow your business without breaking the bank. Highly recommend listening and subscribing to the SEO. By the way, yes, subscribe and follow. That's very important. To the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing, if you want the knowledge and mindsets to get ahead of the curve, and then in parentheses, and reach your overall business goals as a result. Patif to you, Jay Barshop. That's what we're hoping that we're delivering with a little bit of personality, right?
We don't talk about mindset enough.
I think that's true.
I think it's really, really important to have the right mindset when you're approaching a digital marketing campaign.
100%.
Right? We're in the job of just creating like amazing results.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're going into it pessimistic that you're going to be hitting all these brick walls, you know.
It's like, probably not the right mindset.
Most people that come to us have already spent a bunch of money and it didn't work.
Hit a bunch of brick walls already.
Hit a bunch of brick walls. So they come to us very, very pessimistic.
Jaded, for sure.
They're jaded. And you know, based on over the years, the results that we've produced, we've learned
consistently,
how...
Yeah.
We've learned what works and doesn't work. And, right. you know, I actually did do a workshop of people flew in and I uncomfortably had to tell them, I don't think that their business is a good business. I think they left us a bad review or something.
Oh, really?
But I mean, basically I suggested that they pivot their business in a different direction where there was more search volume because they were trying to do it really on a shoestring budget and there was no volume. So I was like, you're going to have to spend a bunch of ads to generate a lot of business. Here's how I would go to kind of stair step into what your true passion is. But I told him, you know, I said, look, this is how I would do it if I was you based on what I know. The way you're going right now is, you know, I think it's going to be
not
a tough
You're
road.
Not going to get an ROI.
And so I would look at that going, if someone helped me to not make a bad decision.
And financially.
Financially and learn from somebody else. You know, or
I'd
you
give
go
them a
down
good
this
review.
Path and, you know, you spend $1,500 grand and you have nothing to show for it.
I think it's that becomes the case of they shot the messenger for the message.
Fair enough.
Right? Yeah. Like the message wasn't what they wanted to hear. And if they did, I don't know if they did leave us a bad review.
Maybe they just, it was Lissa had brought them in. And then I, you know, she said, I
remember
really,
that. They flew
in. I said, really uncomfortable. I need you in this meeting to kind of walk through this because I basically got to tell them that this is a bad business strategy and it's a bad idea. And they push for the strategy session anyway.
Yeah.
We actually do turn people away. And like we just, I think, sold a website. They called us 4 times. And we were like, no, we don't think we should do this.
This makes sense. Yeah.
And they're 4 times. They're like, no, we want you to do it. Blah, 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 blah. And but anyways, go on. We don't want to be an infomercial here.
We'll get to those reviews later. I did check. I'm wearing a shirt right now. It says SEO Internet Marketing Results. It has kind of a Star Wars theme. Yvonne has one as well. Yeah. You can't see him working behind the camera. On the back, it says, may the rank be with you. We've got a bunch of other shirts. If you're interested, you can get them still at ewebresults.com/swag. I did double check that before. And that's
Really, I'm changing the attire.
Yeah,
because you have to have like some kind of internet marketing T-shirt.
Yeah,
I think it's got to be collared or button-down shirt.
Yeah,
right. Because we're having a lot more clients come in.
Yeah,
and so,
if you're not advertising your internet passions, then be dressed up.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I think that's fair. That makes sense. All right, so we're going to jump into this article. Before we do that, we would ask you to do something. Shiko us.
Share, like, follow.
And as you're sharing, liking, following, and if you're on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe and follow. You should hear in your head the sound that sounds like Shikow. That's what Shiko.
We got to get a button made.
That says Shikow.
That says Shikow.
All right, I'll do the recording. All right, so now we're going to get into the...
We need buttons of you
saying different stuff. The top 10 must-have content marketing skills. Again, Patif to Julia McCoy. We really appreciate this article. We broke it into 2 sections. Go back and listen to podcast number 472 in order to get the first one. Here, we're starting at skill number 6. Look ahead. Planning content way ahead of time is a skill that you need to have to do this right. And she talks about how uncomfortable it can be. Like you wake up on a Friday and you know, well, today's the day I got to make content, and you haven't actually thought about the content you're going to make. I think we've all been there.
I think that's with life. You just got to plan out a little bit better.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that's what I'm teaching a lot of people. They're coming in going, what do I need to do today? And I'm like, you need to have that planned out like the previous week.
Yes, last night.
We're downloading tasks to them of like what they need to complete because there's a lot of people that just want to knock out tasks.
And you need to plan those tasks out.
But if you're going to move into kind of the strategy level, that's really what you have to do is plan things out, do some gap analysis, figure out where the trends are. You know, when you're creating content, there's a lot that goes into it.
And one of the things, and we keep track, so every time we do a podcast, I've got a sheet that tracks like what the article was, what the date was, what the reviews were, so we don't end up, other than the last podcast, repeating a particular review. That was just because it was fun.
And I have Chris that does this.
They called you Mike. So that way, I mean, that's part of planning, right? That's part of planning ahead, is to make sure that you're not redoing something that you've already done because you've got it all digitally stored.
I'm pretty sure we've done a 473 podcast, though. I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think so. No? I would give it a 50-50.
Avon, have we done a 473 for?
Really? We're higher than that?
Yeah.
What podcast is this? When you get a chance, let me know what podcast this is, and then we'll correct it. So our system isn't 100% accurate. If we wanted to be accurate, we might use the one that Julia recommends, which is Buffer. She says Buffer allows to schedule. Well,
is this Buffer right here?
Yeah, this is
looks
Buffer.
Like Trello.
But this is, it's going to have the same kind of look and feel.
It's like add card. Yeah.
Yep. No, it's going to have the same look and feel. Yeah. In fact, you could just use Trello. Yeah. Hootsuite is more about scheduling content that's already created, whereas this is like, hey, here, let me schedule what content I need to create.
I use Hootsuite, so I don't know.
Let me put that SME, subject matter expert interview on the schedule so I know when that happens, kind of thing. So you've got that under control. You do want to leave room for spontaneity. For example, if a relevant question from one of your followers pops up, why not address it in a lengthy blog or podcast? So I'm going to say, if you're listening to the podcast and you've got some question, some burning internet marketing related question that you have would like answered, then send it in. podcast@ewebresults.com.
That's one of the things that we used to do at the old location. We don't do anymore.
We used to have
it live, right? And then people would be asking questions and we would kind of ad lib live.
Yeah. That would be fun. We could get back to doing Facebook live.
A screen.
Like,
yeah. Just bigger, like the phone. I was like,
yeah. I mean, although now we could put the phone here. All right. So that was number six. Number seven, skill number seven, the ability to repackage content. So when you're talking about planning out all of your content, what you can throw in is, you know, you don't always have to make something. You might be thinking to yourself, how on earth can I come up with enough new topics? The good news is you don't have to. You can take older content that you produced and simply repackage it.
Well, that's what Neil Patel and Brian Backlinko does, Brian Dean. Basically, the skyscraper technique is taking a bunch of old blog posts and then smushing them together, and building a big kind of tall content block.
Yep.
I mean, we're doing this for a lot of clients. We're taking old content that's not ranking well,
right?
And then kind of recycling
massaging it or
putting it with another piece of content, and then republishing it to get some better traction to get it ranking. So when we have these sites that have a lot of content, we're able to quicker repurpose content than generate new content.
Yeah.
Or what did he say?
Reconfigure. Repackage.
Repackage.
And he actually talks, Julia actually talks about the reverse, which is maybe you've got a 3,000 word skyscraper article. You can actually break that into three different articles. Yeah. Right? Little blog posts. And then you could actually turn those individual posts into little videos.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you can repurpose that content
both
for different
directions,
platforms.
Yeah.
And really, we could do a better job of that with this podcast.
Yes. You mean creating content off of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we could chop it up and do this and do that.
Yep.
And
turn it into commercials.
Yeah, why we need a full-time person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Skill number eight is I try and distract Matt from hiring another person this week. Optimizing for voice search and AI. Dun, dun, dun. We have this. In fact, right before this podcast, we used voice search. And what did we ask? What did we ask Google?
About a sundial.
We asked, what is a clock?
You said a solar clock. It's called something else.
Solar clock called. And you know, Google.
And she knew.
And Google knows the answer and
she's
said
it's a smarter. She's grown up
sundial. Yeah. And this goes exactly to my point about voice search, is that 99% of voice searches are things that you're not going to sell anything off of. Again, assuming you're not talking about restaurants near me, right? That's where you've
it's
got
saying who, what, when, where, why, and I believe that's true.
Yes. Yeah. So there are best practices. So still, you might want to optimize for voice search, right? So maybe you do sell like antique sundials and you want to be the first one to show up for antique sundials. And you could say, well, here's some tricks to make sure that you can place well. Use the whole question. Like in my case, I was like, what is a sun clock, right?
Yeah.
Called. So you could actually create content that says what, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, structure snippets.
Well, that's the, hey, don't cheat.
That's what? The next. That's what you
that's
said.
That's the next. I said the whole question. So ask that whole question as the title of your particular blog post or whatever. And then next, I don't know, you could structure your content to be featured in a snippet.
Just make how-tos. That's what I'm seeing working right now is Google wants how-tos.
And one of the techniques we've been using is when you do a search that's relevant for our client, then Google offers all of these other questions that people are searching related to that topic.
People also ask.
Answer those things and blog posts and videos or whatever to get some good traffic.
I like that. That
almost feels like a pro tip. Skill number, what did she also say? Divide your content. This will help you, again, get optimized for voice search and AI. Divide your content into relevant H2s and H3s, and then use numbered and bulleted lists.
So I have to say this in this section because I am thinking about hiring another person. And
point number nine.
No, I'm serious. So I'm thinking about creating an EWR lab.
Okay.
And so... there's some senior SEOs that meet here in Houston.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a meetup in Austin like yesterday.
Right.
And anyways, I got a couple of them that we stay in contact. You see them come in and out of here. Some of them are ready to come over.
Okay.
Some of them are ready to come over. And like we continuously find the best strategies and we need to like really dedicate to that.
Yeah.
And so where we're learning through like doing and we're seeing the updates and we're making assumptions, but like testing is really, really important. And I've been doing a lot of work on GMBs right now because, you know,
Google My Business,
a lot of clients just want to rank in GMB. They don't have a website. They don't need a website. They don't want to rank in search. And so I've been doing a lot of research on that. And I have a guy that's really, really good and we've been going back and forth, and anything that I've read online, any courses that I've taken from people I bought, he had he through testing's been able to teach me some things.
Oh, cool!
And so
that's kind of like what we were talking in the last podcast about how many books you've read and how you went into a particular conversation with at that time somebody who had a lot more SEO experience than you, and how, all right, there's one thing to have, we all know there's book learning and then there's experiential learning, and there are different things, right?
Well, also what I will say too is the time invested, right, to that 10,000 expert hours.
Yeah.
You know, over the course of 10 years or 20 years or whatever, if you've been doing SEO since Google's been around, somebody can compress that time. Because if you're just doing on the job and you're not taking, you know, time outside of work to learn some of these things, you're not moving at such a fast pace.
Right.
And so reading all those books
accelerated the pace.
It accelerates it a lot, but that experiential knowledge. But bottom line is, I was having a conversation yesterday
about an SEO lab.
Well, SEO lab, and
so not even hiring somebody, but also creating a lab. Skill number nine, using links for higher authority and relevance. Links are essential. You had a phrase, content is king.
Distribution is queen.
Right? And distribution is about the links that you get. Like, how do you get the message out there? And links on other locations that point into your content is these links. They're essential. They can help Google understand what your site's about. If you've got high authority on a particular topic that's linking into you.
That's actually something that I've been getting asked a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the companies we're working with now have internal SEO people.
Right.
And they're wanting like corporate training. And so everybody's really afraid of links.
Yeah.
And you should be.
Yeah.
But if
you do them wrong, it's not good.
I mean, it's, you know, so there's some landmines out there, but people are very uncomfortable with it. And it is still about 40% of the SEO pie.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if you're doing everything.
And by SEO pie, what he means is 40% of the criteria Google uses in order to figure out where to place you relative to other people.
I was relating to eating. Really. The SEO pie that Google eats. Yeah. So anyways, cool. Links are important.
What they also do is show Google which of your pages are most important. So that's not only links that are outbound, but you need to make sure that you take care of your internal link structure and speak a message with your link structure. Hey, here's what's most important on my site.
You can, with big sites, you can rank just with your own site.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
Right. The one linking structure that you have the most control over is the structure on your own website. So make sure you spend a lot of time on it. Make sure that it's done properly. Yeah. The key is choosing the best links. Her suggestion is Alexa has a free tool, not Alexa like Amazon Alexa, but Alexa, the data Alexa that's online. If a site ranks below 100,000, so a low number is actually a good number, then it's good to use that for content, for linking from your content. If it's higher than 100,000, then you might just be wasting your time.
Oh, are we talking about outbound links?
That's trying to get inbound links.
Yeah, is that saying a site that ranks below 100,000?
100,000, right.
Okay, so I mean, when I'm looking at sites too to try to get links back,
like right.
If you're doing outreach, sites that link out to way too many people, it's sharing all its SEO juice,
right.
And it's just non-discriminate, so that link's not that hard to get, so Google looks at that. So.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
All right. Skill number 10, measure your content success.
All right.
And we're going to talk about three great ways to measure content success. I just want to share, you know, we've all got this concept of test and measure, right? And I think that measuring, and really here at eWeb, we think that measuring is so important. The concept is really measure and test. So take that phrase and turn it around. You shouldn't even be throwing anything out there that you're not understanding how you're going to measure it. Like, it's not like, oh, let's throw it out there and then figure out how we're going to measure it. It's like, how are we going to measure it and then throw it out there so that you're measuring it and you can have some way to kind of A-B test it and get better results.
Yeah, I think that so we recently hired a quant guy, right?
Like, right.
So Frank's been doing a great job.
Yeah.
Like financials, projections, that sort of thing as we're kind of building out case studies of, you know, like we have one campaign that's a 2,800% return on investment. 2,800% return on investment. And this is a site that's worth about $50,000 a month.
Right.
And we've got their cost per acquisition.
Right.
Down to $4.
Per acquisition.
Okay. This is a finance company.
Yeah.
And we've been with them for like 5 years. So we've really been able to
implement everything that we want to. Yeah.
But we did lose a client.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it was a communication thing at the end of the year. And I looked at the data. And if we would have run a model to show them what we actually did for them, they would have never left.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like that was a failure.
A failing of our team, on our part
of explaining that. And I basically have Frank running that model that we can use them as a case study.
Right.
Okay. But I actually,
even though they left.
Yeah.
But that's how good a job we did.
It was amazing. Yeah. Right. It was in the automotive industry. And really, I still have a good relationship with the guy. We've been kind of Facebooking back and forth and, you know, we're going to have a conversation, but I want to show him that data.
I don't want to
explain it to him. I want him to see it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that really, we are data driven and we got to take that next step to translate to the business owner. Cause when, you know, go talk to a publicly traded company, it's like, hey, give us $1 million. You know, what am I going to get for the $1 million? What's the projection?
You got 4 million. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Like, yep. I mean, like we're a big e-commerce site, right? So, I think that it's becoming more and more important and people are not looking at internet marketing as much as marketing.
Right.
They're like, if I spend this, I want X return.
Right.
And we're working on this beta tool right now that helps give you kind of projection of leads. You can plug into a calculator what that formula is. It'll tell you the competitors, how much content they're creating. Sorry, never mind.
We're good. No, that's good.
No. You look at your watch. It's making me uncomfortable.
I got to glance at it. We got to keep on schedule here. All right. So a lot of exciting things happening. Measure your content success. Here's things to measure. Your email click-through rates.
Man, that cut probably hurt people's ears.
Careful with that. Email click-through rates. If people are clicking on the links in your email series, take note of what's actually getting their attention, right? Number two, bounce rates. Do people leave your site without clicking? That's a problem. He says, if people click away more than 70% of the time, you need to improve your content. But the average click-through rate is higher than that, isn't it? Like, if you, like, on all sites...
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's about 80. I mean, our target's to get it down to, like, 60, 65.
Right.
But 70 is a great target, too. Right, because, you want to know that people are...
Actually engaging with it.
Yeah, and I think there's things that you can do on the website, because Google is looking at that quite a bit, of, like, getting them to take engagement. Google hates it when they hit the back button.
Oh, yeah, quickly. So, yeah. Quickly. I think they're okay if they hit it after some period of time. But they don't like you hitting the back button, especially hitting the back button quickly and then selecting another item on the result, the SERP page, search engine result page, and then staying there.
So when you're structuring the site, you want like kind of 3 clicks to anywhere on the site.
Yeah.
And so a lot of sites that are coming to us when we're looking at the information architecture are like 5 clicks deep.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of hurting you with Google.
Yep.
And there's ways to kind of move it around and kind of change the slugs and, you know, the URLs to give it, like, you want to be able to get anywhere on the site in 3 clicks.
The next is scroll depth, right? So talk a little bit about tools for monitoring.
Put a hot person on.
and cut it off and scroll up.
That's what we used to do. Like, right above the fold, you would have, like, a picture of somebody that someone would want
attractive,
to look at.
Right,
attractive person.
Yeah.
There to scroll down.
Yeah.
You know, but that...
That doesn't work.
I haven't done that in a long time. That was just affiliate stuff.
So there's some tools for tracking, like how far they scroll, where they're clicking, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, like if you have them go down like 2/3 of the page, you can do an exit pop-up.
What are the tools that we typically use? Is it like Hot?
Oh, you're talking about Hotjar?
Yeah, Hotjar. There we go.
Crazy Egg.
And
we're using... both of them. Hotjar slows it down a little bit. There's also one called Lucky Orange that I've used a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are tools that allow you to understand how far they've scrolled, right? So
for
my other company, I'm actually working on a 72-page sales letter. And one of the things that we're going to do is track.
You with those
that was you. You. It's a good sales letter. I actually learned stuff about my own business in the sales letter. That's how good it is. But we'll keep track because if you look and people stop at a certain headline, then you know you got to adjust the content at that particular headline. So it's really good to understand that activity and when you're thinking about conversions. So rather digging up what your specific audience wants to know is one of the things that's key for making great content. It's talking to them as a friend in your own unique way, in your own unique voice, keeping up with the current trends and technology, only so you can serve your audience better. Doesn't that kind of sound like this podcast, right? Like, we know our audience, we have a unique voice. Some people like it, some people... we feel most people like
it. Sounds like we need to put that
some
on bestseopodcast.com.
Hate it. keep up with current trends. That's what we... Wow, interesting. When
it.
You master these skills, your content strategy will lift you to success in no time. I wrote 2 question marks next to that because I don't know what the definition of no time is for them. I just know when we started this podcast way back in 2009, we didn't get a single phone call for more than 12 months. So it may not happen that fast, but it's responsible for 30% of our business, and so it does pay off. There's a book, and I'm trying. It's by Collins, and it talks about the I think it's the 20-mile march, right? Which is if you're as they were trying to get into like the North Pole or the South Pole, I can't remember. If they just did 20 miles every day, and some days 20 miles would be a struggle. And then other days, 20 miles would be really easy. And the point was, even when it's easy, you need to stop at 20 because you need that rest. And when it's hard, you got to push through and get to the 20. And so this podcast for eWeb, now soon to be EWR, all of these transitions, best
saying,
SEO podcast, yeah. All of those, it's the 20-mile march. Like, it's hard to get together and make this happen, but we do get together and make it happen. It's kind of an interesting case study for...
You used to be like, it was 7 o'clock on a Friday, and you're like, Matt, you can't go. We got to do a podcast. I'm like, we did one till like 11 one time.
Yeah.
We did a sequence of things, and then we didn't record it, and then we had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrible.
That hasn't... Thank you, Yvonne. That hasn't happened in a while.
that is probably the number one thing that, like, from other podcasters that I talk to is, like, they were recording an interview and they're like, I didn't record. And I was on a guest podcast and that actually happened.
Oh, wow.
Like, we got you know, 10 minutes in, they're like, oh, let's start over. I was like, oh, man.
That
was,
I gave you all my best stuff at that point. All right, so we do ask if you like this podcast. You guys have made us the most popular SEO podcast, one of the most popular.
Except for, what's his name?
Internet marketing podcast. Who?
Which? The guy, the review.
Oh, well, he hasn't made us the most popular. Submitting reviews and letting people make their own decisions. That helps.
Yeah,
that helps.
Thank you.
thank you. And what you could do for us, if you would be so kind, is to share the podcast with, I don't know, three people.
I would say reach out to it. Yeah. So leave a review, share it. Reach out to us, say hi, say thank you.
If you're interested in growing revenue in your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call eWeb Results for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. If you have a referral, right? By the way, go ahead and pick up the phone and just call
email
us.
Me. Yeah.
If you have a referral, email us and we'll figure out a way to work together and take care of you. We're doing a lot more of those types of projects now.
Yeah.
So
we're doing a lot of those.
We can make that happen. And then really that's it. We really appreciate you. Thank you guys. We were filmed live here at 13105 Northwest Freeway, Houston, Texas, 77040. If you want a transcript video or audio, you might need to email us.
Yeah, so let me ask you. So you give the address.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want people to just randomly show up?
Why not?
Is that?
Why not?
I'm just wondering.
I don't know. So it's... From shows that I would watch, it would always say like the whole address, like so.
Well, so the interesting thing is people don't look up the address. Like right. I would almost give like landmarks. I'd be like, we're on 290.
In the largest building out 290. Yeah.
Or something like that. But it was funny because one of our clients was living in Houston and he now lives in Austin.
Yeah.
And like he didn't realize where we were located, and then he found and he goes, I live like right there for like 5 years, and
right.
then like. Built a little rapport.
Yeah.
And I was like, I live there now. And yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, we would have been neighbors had you not moved.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Well, so we do appreciate you. And please leave us a review. And until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now. We're starting on.
Are we recording? Are we live?
Is this?
Are we live?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
And this is kind of like a midday podcast.
Yeah.
You know, like we haven't done it too many days.
It is actually, you know, 5 minutes away from a midday podcast.
Man, it's like I can read.
There's
the
some
sign.
Sort of symbol where.
I don't know, something like a pendulum. Or
okay, Google.
Like
what's the name for a solar clock?
Sundial.
Oh!
It's so
she's
hard.
She's smart! She's getting smarter.
Voice search. Yes, and what's the value of the voice search?
It's mostly
zero,
it's
none, zilch.
Yeah.